Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Well, what a cold, rainy night here in Lansing. We're getting into the 30s tonight, although it will be sunny the rest of the weekend. Perfect football weather. On today's program, Dan Mulhern. He's the husband of Governor Jennifer Granholm and the co-author of her new book. He'll be joining me. We'll talk about her time in office, but what I really want to know is what he thinks of how Governor Snyder and Republican state lawmakers have been running the show since the governor left. And just when it looked like welfare benefits for tens of thousands of Michiganians would end tomorrow, a lawsuit filed today may delay the strict four-year cap that state officials have been preparing to institute. I'll talk to the head of the group behind the suit to find out what the state did wrong. Another big change set to begin tomorrow is a new asset test for Michiganians on the food stamp program. If they have over $5,000 in the bank, then they'll be getting dropped. To talk about this change and whether it's a good idea, I'm joined by Ross Yednock. He's the director of the Asset Building Policy Project at the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan. Welcome to the program, Ross.
Hi, Mike.
Now, income is, of course, key to avoiding poverty, but assets can certainly play a role in a person being able to get through tough times. What's wrong with evaluating assets, including the amount of money someone has saved up, to determine if they really need food assistance?
Well, and I would actually, with your first point, say that income and, you know, traditional consumption-based programs like food assistance, or you've got Jack Young talking about welfare too, that helps people get by on a certain level of income. But really, to break poverty, we're talking about assets. The only, if few people have ever spent their way out of poverty. Most people get out of poverty by saving and investing in the future, and, you know, long-term savings programs. So that would be the first point. You know, what, and that goes right into, you know, the problem with the asset test for food assistance is it just sends the wrong message that having assets, having savings, trying to achieve financial security and financial independence. I know the director was on earlier this morning, I heard her, and she was talking about wanting to, you know, help people become financially self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how you do that is through savings. And it's, you know, we as a country, our savings rate, it's gone up a little bit since the recession, but it's been the lowest point in 50 years, you know, in most of our lifetimes. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's sending the wrong message. How you get ahead, how you build wealth, how you break the cycle of generational poverty is through savings.
But we all heard of this case of the millionaire, the man who won the lottery, who was at that point still getting food assistance, and that, of course, outraged many. Wouldn't an asset test avoid that kind of a situation from occurring?
You know, that's an outlier. And what I've actually did in the last week, I've been working with a group, that was, as near as we can tell, that was a mistake on the part of the caseworker handling it, which actually gets into a whole other point. We're talking about saving money in the state of Michigan. This policy change could very well potentially cost the state millions of dollars. Back in the mid-90s when the state changed its rules around food stamps, we ended up paying something like $65 million in federal penalties to the federal government. The thing people don't necessarily understand about food assistance, all of that comes from the federal government. We spend about half, we split the cost on administration, which is minuscule compared to the overall size of the program. So when you make a change, error rates go up. There's a report from a couple years ago by the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities that attribute changes in policies like this to about two-thirds of the error rates, and then we get penalized by the federal government and then have to end up paying them money. So, but back to the, you know, the guy who won the lotto, one, I don't believe he should have ever been getting food stamps. I don't know that anyone would argue that if you win $1 million, you should be on government assistance. But that's the, you know, that's the one in, you know, whatever the chances are of winning the lottery, mm-hmm. you know, 100 million. We're talking about 2 million people on food assistance in Michigan. The Department of Human Services says that 15,000 tomorrow will no longer be eligible based on this test. And what I'm more concerned about is, you know, yes, I do work in asset building, helping low and moderate people build wealth and become financially self-sufficient, but it's the newly unemployed, the You know, Colorado raised their asset limit several years ago for their TANF limit, and some of the cases that came forward and why they did that was a woman in an abusive relationship. She gets divorced, and she gets out of the settlement $10,000, and now, well, she's, you know, needs a little bit of temporary assistance to get by for her and her kids for the next 6 months, has to spend down $10,000 to be able to fall under an asset limit. Is that really what we want? Policies like this potentially keep people on programs like food assistance.
So let me understand. Is there any kind of asset evaluation currently to get on the food stamp program?
In Michigan, no.
Okay.
In,
now, shouldn't there be some form of evaluation of assets? I mean, there should be some acknowledgement that if someone has plenty of assets, that they shouldn't really have access to the food assistance program. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, if I've got $1 million in the bank, you know, and my income level, you know, I'm not really. And again, it's the outlier. How many people are going to have $500,000 or $100,000 sitting in a bank account in liquid assets, yet their income level is at, I think it's 180% of the poverty level. I mean, we're talking, the numbers don't add up. And somebody said the other day, you know, this ends up, I mean, this will, and I think if you talk to the department, they will admit this is going to cost the state more money. Implementing this tax.
Shouldn't someone, let's say, as a newly unemployed person who is no longer making an income, shouldn't they access their assets before turning to a food assistance program?
Well, depending on what the assets are, I think. And actually, the, you know, the $5,000 in the bank, that's just liquid cash assets. You know, do we want people to spend down, you know, $50,000 in savings for 6 months worth of work? I mean, that may be a philosophical difference, but it's the mentality is saying we don't want people to save. You know, assets is a bad thing. You know, and again, we're talking about temporary assistance. I know you're going to be talking about FIP later on the show. That also has an asset test.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of that, we're talking about there's a lifetime limit. And I know it's just gotten stronger, and that's what the case is about. But there, I mean, that's even another case of where assets make no sense. We're telling people we want you to become financially independent. That's the name of the program, Family Independence Program.
Mm-hmm.
Yet don't save more than $3,000.
I'm talking to Ross Yednock. He's the director of the Asset Building Policy Project at the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan. The number of recipients on the food assistance program in Michigan increased by more than 40% since late 2008. As you said, almost 2 million Michigan residents are now on food assistance, one out of five of us getting food stamps. When you see a proportion of that type, doesn't that indicate that there's a strong likelihood that a significant number of those on the program may not truly need the assistance?
That is one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the numbers of how many people who are eligible for the program aren't getting the assistance. And that number, the latest estimate I've heard on that is, you know, upwards of about $600-700 million in food assistance that could be coming in the state of Michigan and is not. And that's a number that I am more concerned about. I mean, are there people out there who probably don't need the help? Sure. Is that number, you know, and if we just go with the 15,000 people that the Department of Human Services has identified, and let's just say that's the number of people who have a boatload of cash sitting in there and really don't need it, and they're gaming the system. And we're talking 15,000, but what we're leaving on the table are, you know, 50, 60,000 and hundreds of millions of dollars in federal benefits on the table that could be coming in, helping Michigan families,
mm-hmm.
helping Michigan children, helping the Michigan economy.
Well, let me ask you this. Do state officials have any vested interest in tightening the belt on this program? Since that's what they're doing, I mean, is there a good reason for them to do this?
You would have to ask them. I think there are efficiencies that can be found in state government all the time, and I work for a nonprofit Trade Association. Our members do, you know, in the Lansing area, it's the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. It's Northwest Initiatives. These are people who are helping, you know, build communities that you know, are economically hurting right now.
Okay.
But prior to that, I worked in the legislature. I actually worked, you've got Dan Mulhern on. I worked for his wife when she was the Attorney General. And as she would always say when she was Attorney General, I mean, we're talking about people's, you know, this is taxpayer dollars. So the state does need to be vigilant and does need to be efficient in the way we're spending taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, and going after that, in this case, I think we're going to be spending a lot more money and being totally inefficient with state dollars.
Ross, in 30 seconds, if you can, tell me, how is this new asset test different than the one that we had previously before it was eliminated?
There was essentially no asset test prior to this.
I see. So this is the first time we're seeing an asset test on the food assistance program?
Not the first time in Michigan. We had one, and then in the around 2000, I think it was under Engler, where we eliminated it.
Was it essentially the same then in terms of the structure of assets that it's looking for?
No, it was also different. Federally, they're looking at, certain things will be exempted, 401ks, college savings accounts. I mean, there are some good things that they are exempting. If it were me in a middle ground, I would, you know, 5,000 is not enough. We need to up that.
Understood.
But even if you up that, then we're costing money implementing it to find a very, you know, a small handful of people who wouldn't really need the help.
Ross Yednock, the director of the Asset Building Policy Project at the Community Economic Development Association of Michigan. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Excellent.